Put away everything you may think about ramen. Forget the plastic cup. Forget the block of noodles. Forget that pesky spice package. And forget the boiling water. Imagine instead a soup assembled before your eyes, just for you. Fresh noodles, steaming broth, a soup assembled with 9 exacting components, each one prepared separately over hours. That's what ramen is about. Ivan Orkin fell in love with Japan. He studied the language, traveled back and forth for years, became a chef, and then decided to become a student of ramen, and was gutsy enough to open a ramen shop in Tokyo, no less. Well, that story and that ramen recipe are in his book, Ivan Ramen, Love, Obsession, and Recipes from Tokyo's Most Unlikely Noodle Joint. Ivan, it's good to have you with us.
Oh, it's fabulous to be here.
So, Ivan, what is ramen to you?
Well, ramen, you know, it's funny because ramen, you would think it's just, you know, soup noodles. And I wouldn't blame someone for thinking that. And yet, it's really anything but. It's a dish that's completely composed and balanced and harmonious. And for it to really work, the soup needs to marry with the noodles so that when you eat that bowl of noodles, everything sort of comes together in your mouth when you slurp it up, which is very different than the way you would eat a bowl of chicken noodle soup.
9 components to make a bowl of ramen.
Mm-hmm.
What are those components? Can you briefly give us a sort of lineup of them?
Well, of course, you have to just start with the simple part, right? You start with soup and noodles.
Right.
But that wouldn't have that umami excitement that all the hullabaloo is about. So when you have your bowl of ramen, you also add things like a flavor base. In Japanese, it's called a tare, a T-A-R-E. And it could be based on salt, on soy sauce, on miso, on a lot of different flavors. But you add that to your bowl, and then in addition, you add melted fat, which could be pork fat, beef fat, chicken fat, depending on, you know, what flavor you're trying to create. And then you could sprinkle in other things. In one of my dishes, I sprinkle in powdered smoked fish. And then you pour a very hot soup on top of all of that. You add noodles into that, and then toppings. At Ivan Ramen, we're really simple. We just put a piece of pork belly and a little thing of scallions on top. You can add on, like, you know, which makes it sort of that great sort of casual fast food item. You know,
right.
You can add eggs. You can add roasted tomatoes. You could add more meat. You can add garlic, chili oil, and you can make it this crazy, you know, stuff with lots of things in it as well. So it can get dressed up or it can be dressed down.
But it sounds like there's this ballet going on, a balance going on between those 9 components, and you wouldn't want to mess it up.
Right.
I mean, I'm looking at the list in front of me. One of them is sofrito that you do with apples, onions, ginger, and garlic, and you cook that in oil for hours?
Hours and hours and hours.
And a little bit of that goes into the broth?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, I never worked in a ramen shop. When I decided to do this, I was living in Tokyo. I really wanted to, I didn't want to have a boss anymore. I wanted to have my own business, and a restaurant made a lot of sense. And at the time, I was just completely obsessed with ramen. And I decided to open a shop. But I was also 40 years old or 43 years old, and I didn't really want to have an apprenticeship. The ramen shop owners are very reluctant to tell you anything, and I didn't think anyone would teach me anything in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't prepared to commit a year or two to an apprenticeship. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to figure this out myself. And I did a lot of reading, and obviously I'd already been cooking professionally for many years. And, you know, using a sofrito, to me, is one of the great secrets to adding depth of flavor to many, many different types of food and used in many cuisines. And it's a wonderful palate that you can add other flavors to. And so I have this very aromatic, deeply long-cooked flavor base that I then add salt to, or I add soy sauce to, or in other recipes, I add chili peppers to it, or sesame.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just, you get these layers and layers and layers of flavor so that I start with really delicious chicken soup. It's just whole chickens and water. And then not such a simple dashi, but a nice dashi that's very smoky and earthy.
Why don't you explain what dashi is? Because a lot of people...
That's a great point. You know, dashi is really the building block of Japanese cuisine. And really, most dashis in Japanese cuisine are really just kombu, which is a certain type of seaweed. and katsuobushi, which is a bonito, which is sort of dried and steamed and dried and smoked and shaved.
And that's fish flakes, essentially.
And essentially that's fish flakes. I take it to another couple levels by using a whole variety of that to make a more complex dashi. But in Japanese cuisine, those two ingredients are the main ones, and they're used that to sort of paint all kinds of flavors with.
So you've got two kinds of broth that you put in
there. I have two kinds of broth where in Japan it's called a double soup. And believe it or not, they usually use the American letter W to say double.
It's interesting.
Yes, and my ramen style is a very small sort of niche market of, you know, the most popular style is the tonkotsu, which ton means pork, kotsu means bone, so the pork bone soup. It's very milky and rich, and I like it very much, but I tend to like to cook a lighter style, and as a chef, I love sending people home to feel good for many hours after they eat my food. And I found when I was doing all my research, eating so many bowls of ramen, you know, the ones on the heavier side would stay with me. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to eat another morsel of food for 10 or 12 hours, mm-hmm. which is great if you're a college kid, but I'm not. and I was like, I don't really want to make this. And I don't really want to feed people this style. And while I still like that style, and every once in a while I still eat it, mine is a much brighter, lighter version.
Now, Americans have a different sensibility about soups than I understand the Japanese do. How should I eat ramen?
That's a great question, and I'm sort of on this weird quest to get people to understand the art of the slurp, which is my new little tagline. I call it the art of the slurp. Because ramen really should be eaten when it's at its freshest, at its hottest. And the longer it sits, it starts to suck up the soup into the noodles because obviously, you know, the noodles are made of flour and they're a sponge and they're just going to change what it is I originally made for you.
And you know, a lot of people just don't taste noodles. They realize they have great flavor. Ivan, this has been, as we say, a revelation.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey, thank you and good luck with the ramen shop in New York.
Thank you so much, and if you ever make it our way, be sure to come and we can slurp together.
Ivan Orkin is the author of Ivan Ramen, Love, Obsession, and Recipes from Tokyo's Most Unlikely Noodle Joint. And he has Ivan Ramen Slurp Shop in New York City. Well, he left us with the recipe for omoraizu. Now, this is a rice omelet that takes that unusual sofrito he talked about and turns it into a fabulous risotto-like dish. Well, you can find the recipe at splendidtable.org.